This is the Sophia Mare Studios podcast. Hi, I'm Amy.
And I'm Jess, and we're the Rambling Raven Puffs.
Because Potterheads are far too nuanced to be shoved into just one Hogwarts house.
Each week, we will cover two chapters in the saga of our favorite boy wizard.
All the while exploring literary themes, tarot card exercises, and even fanfic speculations.
To connect with us, your fabulous host, and other listeners, join the Discord server for Sophomere Studios.
And to support the podcast and gain access to exclusive bonus features, consider joining our Patreon page at patreon.com/sophiamarestudios, all lowercase.
Thank you for tuning in, grab your butterbeer, and enjoy the show.
Welcome again to the Rambling Raven Puffs. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Amy.
And I'm Jess.
And today we're discussing Harry Potter and the Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, chapters 23 and 22, Malfoy Manor and the Wand Maker. In these chapters, who the hell
23
cares?
And 24. Oh.
Did I mess it up?
It's okay. Yeah.
Did I not say 23?
We're slow
and
going
24?
Today. I think that's okay. That's okay.
It's
okay.
My justification is I had to blow 3 to 4 hours of my weekend, my Easter Sunday, even though I'm pagan and I do not celebrate, I had to blow it doing the annual report for my job. This is the sixth time I have done this report, and I've never, ever in my life left it to the last minute like this, but I was forced to because I'm dealing with so much of other things, of people trying to cram events in, and I'm just supposed to be the magical fairy godmother or genie to make it magically happen.
Or the djinn, right?
The djinn. The djinn. I'm supposed to be the djinn.
Well, I just am generally scrambled. So, yeah. Well, just bear with us, everybody.
Yeah.
What happens during these chapters?
Okay. 23 and 24, where they are kidnapped, our golden trio, and whisked away to Malfoy Manor, and Dobby dies.
Play the little sad music. Yeah. We can get there. We'll get there, obviously. But I know this death shook up a lot of people. I knew it was coming. But I guess I wasn't as attached to Dobby as some folks were. So sorry.
Yeah. No, yeah. Amanda cried when they reread this.
Really? Okay. All right. Well.
And then chapter 24 is, you know, again, kind of processing all Malfoy Manor and getting some insights with both Ollivander and Griphook.
Yeah, interesting. We have some characters come back, so
indeed,
scary.
Yep. Alrighty then, but chapter 23, Malfoy Manor, and so Harry, like a dum dum, said the taboo word.
Yes, he did. He said Voldemort,
and the Snatchers are upon them.
I mean, we knew this was coming. We knew somebody was going to slip up and say the name, and here we are. So
yes, this is where we are, and, you know, they get dragged out. And were you able to recognize what Hermione did, you know, again, because when she cursed Harry?
No. I'm trying to revisit. Let's see.
No, it's just the idea of, at first, Harry's like, why the hell did she curse me? But it's also like the only thing she could do to try and disguise him was, like, to disfigure him.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Hermione's usually two steps ahead of everybody. So, yep. Good for her.
And we've got a bunch of Snatchers, but the most ominous one is Fenrir Greyback, the werewolf.
Yeah. Right. Here he comes again. I was kind of excited to see
who
that
is
name.
Super... I didn't realize how I've forgotten how rapey he is.
Yeah, geez, man, it's like fucking chill. Excuse me. Yeah, but yes, a little aggressive.
Yeah, he's very crude and crass. And so, what do we got? Basically, you know who used to like using the Dark Lord's name? We Slay the Order of the Phoenix mean anything to you? So, yeah, so they're trying to figure out, because ultimately, most of these guys, except, well, not even technically, none of these guys are technically Death Eaters. These are, as Ron was describing, the Snatchers, the hired hands who go around the countryside trying to find Muggleborns on the run to collect reward money.
Oh, okay. So they're the
They're like bounty hunters.
yes, bounty
It's
hunters.
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett, yes, Boba Fett. Okay. I haven't watched any of The Mandalorian, so I don't know what he is, but Boba Fett.
Yeah, but basically a bunch of, bunch of bounty hunters. And again, they're pretty, like, a Muggleborn is only worth like 10 galleons.
So if you get what about a Weasley? Like that's got to be worth a lot.
I don't know how, people have different concepts of how, like, exactly what the money exchange would look like, between galleons or in pounds or dollars. But even still, I'm I don't know. It just seemed pretty low, and they all give fake names. And Hermione's actually pretty smart, where the name she gives is Penelope Clearwatcher. Does that name mean anything to you?
I feel like it does, but I'm thinking about it in the wrong
No,
context.
it's not that she was a major character, but she was also a Muggleborn witch at Hogwarts. She was the Ravenclaw prefect that got petrified with Hermione in the library, in book
Oh.
two, because Hermione was figuring out, oh, it's a basilisk, and she goes tells Penelope, and so they're both looking at the corners with her with the compact mirror.
Okay.
And
Well,
it's
that is some deep Potter knowledge
yeah,
there,
deep
I
Potter
think.
knowledge. But what's brilliant about this is that, she gives the name of a known Muggleborn, so it's an easy way to be like, oh, you're a Muggleborn, you're on our list, you must be telling the truth. But they're not giving her name. But she's not giving her. She's giving a believable lie, because she knows Penelope Clearwater will be hunted just like every other Muggleborn. But she's not the one. But she's just not the Muggleborn with Harry Potter.
Okay. So if you gave a name, it's like they're on the list anyway. So you're not putting anybody in more danger. It's just changing a name. Okay. Because I was at first I was like, "Damn, Hermione, it's kind of rude." But okay.
And they're not the only ones. They finally, these snatchers have got Dean Thomas and Griphook, the and Dean is just like, Harry?
This is snatching them up. Sorry, I was about to say Luna, and I don't know if we've got there yet.
No, we haven't got there yet. So they're ransacking the tent, and they find, of course, the Sword of Gryffindor.
Of course.
But then they piece it together that they find a picture of like Hermione, like wanted poster, and they realize it's Hermione. And then pretty soon piece it together that it's the Golden Trio. It's Hermione Granger, it's Ron Weasley, and the disfigured guy. More than
Harry
likely, it
Potter.
is Harry Potter. But because Voldemort is such a shitty boss, instead of being able to restrain his anger and make sure that they keep him, all of them are terrified of getting it wrong. Because if, basically, it's been made known, if the Death Eaters, as we learned, summon Voldemort for anything less than Harry Potter, or if Harry Potter escapes, then it's going to be hell to pay.
I'm sorry, my cat has decided to use the litter box, so excuse me. I keep muting myself.
And then, so at first the Snatchers are thinking, okay, we're gonna take them to the Ministry. But once they realize it's Harry Potter and that they have this fancy schmancy sword, they're like, no, we're taking them to Malfoy Manor. Because none of them can, even if they had the balls to do so, none of them can physically summon the Dark Lord, not even Fenrir Greyback. So even though he's in Death Eater uniform, he doesn't have the dark mark, because he's not considered fully human. Like, they'll, the Death Eaters and Voldemort will use Greyback, as Harry puts it, for hired savagery, but they'll never perceive him as a full wizard.
They're just using him for what he's good for, in their opinion, but not treating him as like a legit being or whatever.
And so, yeah, so they get transported to Malfoy Manor. All the while, Harry's getting visions of Voldemort in this, like, at this, like, fortress and tower.
Yeah.
Yep. And I gotta say, like, I did not, like, I started listening to this chapter, and then I'm just like, no, I can't do it. I think this may be my least favorite chapter in the entire series.
Really? Tell me more about that.
I don't know. It's never like, well, in a lot of ways, as I mentioned before, Deathly Hallows is typically my least favorite book. But I've been like getting into it and been able to, I'm like, okay, I'm older, maybe I'll appreciate it more. And I feel like I've done so with a good chunk of the book, but this chapter, yeah, it just really doesn't do it for me. And I don't even think it's necessarily the level of darkness. It's just, I feel like it's just the way all the adventures and misadventures are tied together. They're just not how I thought they would be, like, again, when I was, and I don't know.
I can understand. I think one of my least favorite tropes in romantic comedy romance novels is like the miscommunication trope.
Yeah.
So this is just
And I just
it
think,
wasn't something that had a tight grip on me either. But I mean, and then the ending happened. It's almost like it was kind of filling up to what happens at the end of the chapter.
yeah, and I also think it's a kind of a plot hole. It's just hard for me to get into like the zone that it took this long for Harry to finally slip up and use the taboo word, because because there was a whole period of Ron being gone that they got into this habit. But I just don't believe that Harry would, like, the minute Ron is gone, it's like, okay, I'm gonna call him Voldemort again. It just the timing of some of the things seems really contrived,
Do you
and
think it seems rushed?
not necessarily rushed. No, if anything, they should have gotten caught sooner. But anyway, we can move on. And so they go to Malfoy Manor, and let's see. And Narcissa lets them in, and Narcissa lets them in, and let's see what we got. Through his puffy eyelids, Harry saw Narcissa Malfoy scrutinize his swollen face. "Follow me. My son Draco is home for the Easter holidays. If that is Harry Potter, he will know."
Yeah, some of the Draco stuff I didn't quite get, but it could have
Yes,
just been
and
me
then of
being
course we
nerdy.
got Lucius Malfoy.
Luscious Lucius, I'm gonna call him.
That's just a natural thing, like, because I was watching one video, like, review commentary on the Harry Potter ones, and for the second one, when Lucius Malfoy is introduced, he has like a little intro, the luscious locks of Lucius.
He does have some luscious locks, like good for him. That blonde is something else.
So let's see. All the while, Voldemort is like flies up to this tower of this black fortress. I don't know what is this, Minas Morgul from Lord of the Rings. Jesus Christ.
Oh, man.
And the guy, the old man in this cell, is like, "So you have come. I thought you would, but your journey was pointless. I never had it."
Damn, sad times. Screwed.
Yep. And so, yeah, so back to the present, Harry, they're in this drawing room, and Lucius is like, "Draco, is it Harry Potter?" And Draco is most unwilling to directly say it's Harry Potter, or even that Hermione is who she is. Tell me how you felt about that.
That's what I think, when I said like he's confusing me, like I don't know what's going on with Malfoy, because I think it's like he almost postured as a bully for a long time, and now he's like having to make good on some of that, for lack of a better term, where it's like you can talk a big game, but when it comes to like rubber meets the road or whatever, he's just not making good on that, because I guess the Draco Malfoy of the past would have been like, that's Harry Potter and that's Hermione Granger. But like, I think the stakes are a lot higher too. Like, where it was just kind of stupid schoolyard bullying, now it's like the consequences are more dire. I mean, and I guess if he was true to the like Order of the Dark Lord or whatever, I know I just made that up, then he would be like ready to throw him under the bus. So I don't really know what's going on here. I think maybe he's just kind of seen into what it really means to be a Death Eater, and he's not really loving it.
And he's not loving it, and not even like the prom the fr like what Lucius is saying, like Draco, if we are the ones to hand Potter over to the Dark Lord, everything will be forgive like everything will be forgiven. So not so even that sort of carrot dangling, Draco seems to be like, I'm over this shit.
Yeah, which I mean, it's great that if he's having a change of heart, and I don't, I have never really spoken kindly of Draco Malfoy. I think he kind of sucks, but I don't know. His change of heart is very interesting right now.
And so it's like we have to be certain, before we summon the Dark Lord. They say that this is his, but it does not resemble all of the Vander's descriptions. If we are mistaken, we call the Dark Lord here for nothing. Remember what he did to Raoul and Dolohov.
Oh my.
Let's see. And who? And then so it's just the Malfoys and the Snatchers, and then boom, who comes in? Bellatrix.
Fucking Bellatrix. My girl. No.
Yeah, your least favorite in this series.
She's something else. I don't know. I really don't like Umbridge. So
Yeah,
I don't know, it's
like.
a two people I don't like.
And here's an interesting thing. I was about to call him. I shall summon him, Bella. Potter has been brought to my house and is therefore under my authority. Your authority. You lost your authority when you lost your wand, Lucius. How dare you? So
Ooh.
interesting, because we know from the beginning of the book that, what was it, Voldemort was trying to like avoid the prior incantatum thing because of the two, twin wand cores. And so what he was trying to do, in essence, was, he took Lucius's wand and ne and clearly never gave it back, because it was destroyed in the sky when he was trying to go get Harry Potter.
So yeah, not a whole lot of affection between this sister-in-law and brother-in-law, Lucius and Bellatrix.
Bellatrix is not a easy one to love, I would say, but
Yeah, like I'm just trying to imagine a scenario, fan fiction, what if, where, because, Lucius is married to Narcissa, but what if Lucius had to marry Bellatrix?
oh, I don't, he seems too classy, like.
Exact. That's the exact same thing. Like, it would be horrible because she is just so, demented and crass, and he's just, if anything, she's kind of Bellatrix is kind of the most Gryffindor of all the Death Eaters because of her show of so being so proud of her loyalty to the Dark Lord, being so over the top and theatrical in her villainry. Where if anything, Lucius is much more the quintessential like Slytherin, which is what they claim to like.
Yeah, she like owns her crazy, kind of. So,
Yeah, like they would have killed each other.
yeah.
Yes, that wouldn't it would not have ended up as my would not have ended happily as my Married to Magic trilogy books.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No. No.
The dance with the Fey Prince
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
and deal with the Elf King.
Yes, I
And again,
remember that.
still have to read Duel with the Vampire Lord.
I still have to read anything at all except Harry Potter. I have been in a dry spell of reading, so that's been a bummer.
Okay. And Bellatrix is like, take your gold. We don't give a crap about the gold. And Bellatrix loses her shit when she sees the sword.
Yeah, I mean, that's
And
saying something.
she's terrified. And she's like, where did you get this sword? And it's like, it wasn't our sword, they had it.
Yeah.
And she's like, don't you dare speak to Draco like that, Nar said Narcissa furiously. But Bellatrix screamed, be quiet. The situation is graver than you can possibly imagine, sissy. We have a very serious problem. If it is indeed Potter, he must not be harmed. Dark Lord wishes to dispose Potter himself, but if he finds out, I must know. So So Harry and Ron are taken to like the cellar prison.
Yes.
And yeah. Hermione is left.
Oof.
And this is the part where Hermione starts getting tortured.
Poor Hermione.
I don't know. Again, you seem to love the darker elements. How did you feel about this one?
Okay, so, yes, I do like darker things, but there is something to do with, and I've talked a million bazillion times about how I studied public execution and torture and things like that. And it's not because, like, I think it's a thrill. I just, like, I don't really understand how somebody can harm another person. Yeah. So I'm not, like, a real big fan of
torture porn.
I'm not. No, not at all. I guess, you know, think what you will about that in me. I don't understand that desire for another person to hurt another person. So, I mean, I'm a fucking vegetarian, so like it's a hard thing for me to grasp. So, didn't love it. Don't love torture.
Yeah.
Things.
And Bellatrix is like, keeps asking her, like, where did you get the sword? You know, you were in my vault. Did you take anything else?
I mean, and Bellatrix obviously freaking loves this. So, like, whatever. Yeah. Power to her.
Yeah. And so while Hermione's being tortured, they're in the cellar, but they are not alone. Luna is there.
Glad to see Luna. Not in this way, but glad she's there. I mean, kind of. You know what I mean? I'm just glad that Luna is present. I'm not
and
saying
alive.
I'm glad she's... Yes, I'm not glad she's, like, in a bad situation.
Yep. And then not only is Luna there, but Mr. Ollivander is there as well.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Ollivander, the wand man himself.
Yeah, and so you are a lying, filthy mugblood, and I know it. You have been inside my vault at Gringotts. Tell the truth. Again, I just don't understand the notion of torture because, like, that is so unreliable.
It is. It is
like,
unreliable.
Like, I'm sure you know more than I do about the probably statistical empirical data for your papers about the how unreliable it is. So why do we do it?
I don't know. Once upon a time, I definitely had better information. But I mean, I've always kind of, to my understanding, was to make an example to, you know, people. Make sure people fall in line. I mean, that just like why public execution and torture is like the threat of, you know, physical harm and mental, emotional, all those things harm is just to, the conclusion I came to when I was reading about this, it's less about the person that is being executed, tortured. It's more about the message it's sending to the community at large.
But if you're going to do that, then just torture them. Like, I guess I'm confusing the use of torture as an interrogation method. Like, if you just want to use torture to have people fall in line, fine. You know, it's horrible. You're a shitty human being and you deserve a special place in hell. But specifically as a truth-seeking solution, why?
Yeah, I mean, and especially during like the witch trials, you know, when it would be you were torturing somebody and the only way to kind of like, it was very nonsensical because it's like, well, then give up, we'll stop torturing you if you give up five other witches' names. And it's, well, so then of course you're going to go, you're going to be like Hermione, you know, whatever down the street and A, B, C, D, and E. Now, I don't know. There is a book by, oh gosh, I forgot his name. Michael Foucault, F-O-C-U. I'll have to look up the name. I think it's called like, it's not called Crime and Punishment. But anyway, it's downstairs in a bin that's highlighted all the shit. But that was several years ago. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And so what do we got? And so he looks into like the Shard of Mirror. And he sees a blue eye gleaming at him.
Did not expect this critter to show up. So,
yeah. Well, it's not. No, like in the mirror, in his mirror shard, he has Dumbledore's eye was gazing at him out of the mirror. And he's like, and Harry's just like, help. We're in the cellar of Malfoy Manor. Help us.
Weird.
And during all this, you know, they look at the sword. And it's like, bring Griphook, Griphook will know if it's a fake or not. And they're like pleading with him, like, please tell them it's a fake.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and was it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Draco goes in and gets them. And then who is to show up but Dobby, the house elf.
Oh, Dobby. Oof. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just so funny that the Malfoy Manor is not warded against house elves, because again, Dobby is a free house elf because Harry tricked Lucius. So Lucius knows that there's a free elf out there who is very loyal to Harry Potter and really doesn't like him. So
why? You know, that's a good, that you kind of, you bring up a good point. Like, why didn't they, and I feel like bear with me, why didn't they exterminate all the house elves? Like, I know that's very Nazi-ish of me, but this is the vibe we're running on because of the reason that you just said. I mean, there's, I feel like they're a very persecuted group, so.
Yeah, and I guess, and again, I think we're supposed to infer that just house elves are so lowly and so escape, you know, wizards notice that Malfoy doesn't even think about it in this way. Even though that would make sense for every other wizard, but Malfoy himself lost a house elf, you know, and there's a free house elf who has no good feelings towards him and loves Harry Potter.
Yeah, I feel like that would be kind of like, okay, we gotta make sure that guy's gone. But
again, this is, for as much as I love Lucius as a character, as a complicated character, he's a really bad villain. He's just not very good.
Yeah.
He's not a good... not a good secondary villain.
I guess it makes him more empathetic, I guess, a little bit. I don't know.
I want empathetic's a bit strong. I can feel empathetic towards Draco, but...
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Yep. And so, yeah, no, Dobby comes, basically takes Dean, like, Ollivander and Luna to Shell Cottage, which is where Bill and Fleur live.
Oh, yeah. Bill and Fleur!
Yeah. Excuse me. And then, so he takes them away, and then we get another vision of Voldemort with the old man in the cell in the fortress.
Of Voldemort.
Yeah, kill me then, Voldemort. I welcome death, but my death will not bring what you seek. There is so much you do not understand. And, again, if you're gonna go out, I hope if I'm in such a predicament, I can go out like badass like that.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
And then who is it? Draco doesn't come down again because they hear the crack of Dobby disapparating.
Yes.
And it's like, Wormtail, go and check.
Wormtail. Yeah, he's Peter, like, Pettigrew. Old switch. Yeah, good old Peter Pettigrew.
And it, interesting things, like, what is it Wormtail called Lucius Malfoy? Nothing Run called back in a passable imitation of Wormtail's wheezy voice. All fine. And it's just interesting because, again, here's a talent that clearly Ron can be an actor.
Right, yeah. He's definitely coming through in this book more than he has in the past six.
But his coming through took a huge abandonment.
Yes, yeah, it did. It's just love, man. Love is making him do crazy things. That's what I think.
Yep, Harry could barely breathe because Wormtail's got a chokehold on him. You're going to kill me after I saved your life? You owe me, Wormtail. And that causes a flicker of hesitation. And in that and then his like silvery hand that Voldemort gave him after he cut his hand in your favorite cult ritual.
My favorite cult ritual.
So the hand that the magic prosthetic hand that Wormtail has, it was ultimately created by Voldemort and is loyal to Voldemort, apparently, because once it senses that sense of mercy from Wormtail, it turns on him.
Yes.
And he gets wild. Choked to death.
Rip Wormtail. Who cares?
Not R.I.P. Wormtail.
No. Right.
If I ever get to my fanfic, end up writing my fanfic with Harry Potter's twin sister, I know exactly how Wormtail will die, and it will not be this.
Will it be more, I mean, okay, let me just talk about Wormtail's death real fast.
Yeah.
Aptly named Wormtail. He wasn't really like a big enough villain to like have a death that was super rewarding. Mm-hmm. But also this, I mean, I don't know. His death was kind of like, okay, like he's gone.
I feel like when I first read this, I was like, holy shit. I feel like it's not so much you're supposed to feel sorry for, you know, Wormtail by any means. I think just the nature, it's supposed to say more about Voldemort in terms of Voldemort's depravity, that he, you know, gave this prosthetic hand and it turned on him the minute he wasn't immediately like loyal and murderous. You know, it doesn't serve or aid Wormtail's agency. And the minute Wormtail's like goals did not align with the prosthetic's creator, it choked him to death.
Yeah, that, and then that it pretty much tracks with Voldemort's kind of, it's ultimately style. About him. Yeah.
Yep. And so, yeah, Wormtail dies and they go up back to the drawing room, burst in, wands flaring.
Wands flaring.
As opposed to what? Guns barreling? I don't know what.
Guns blazing.
Guns blazing. Wands blazing.
Yeah. Yeah, wands blazing.
Wands waving. And right as, you know, Bellatrix is like, oh, it's a fake. Okay, I'm safe. I'm not going to get in trouble. I'm not going to get in timeout from the big V. I can summon him now.
And then she does the thing.
Yep. And then they're fighting everybody. Lots of action. Overpower some of them. And then Bellatrix has Hermione at, you know, at knife point. And but then there's like they hear like a squeak and a creaking. And it's Dobby releasing the chandelier in very Phantom of the Opera style.
Oh, yeah. Phantom of the Opera. Go listen to that on Sublimely Gothic, everybody.
Yes. And then what do we got? In the movie version, like, they use a lot of the lines, but they also add, Bellatrix says something to the effect of, you could have killed me. It's like, Dobby never intended to kill after, like, bringing down the chandelier. Dobby only meant to maim or seriously injure.
Oh my goodness, that's pretty silly. That's funny.
Yeah. Dobby, she screamed, and even Bellatrix froze. You dropped the chandelier. And again, just, you know, it's hard for us to understand, but like, again, this was their slave for so many years.
Right.
Yeah, the tiny elf trotted.
Extra offense that he's going against them.
So. Yeah, the tiny elf trotted into the room, his shaking finger pointed at his old mistress. You must not hurt Harry Potter, he squeaked. Kill him, sissy. You dirty little monkey. How dare you take a witch's wand? Dobby, like, literally disarms Narcissa. Like, that's how powerful elves are. I don't give a fuck. I don't have to listen to you.
This was a good demonstration of kind of like when I was listening to the chapter, I was thinking about what you've talked about all along and how the house elves are like that, wizards are intimidated by their power. So
yeah. And I think they enslaved house elves so long ago that they themselves have forgotten just how powerful they can be because they've been subjugated for so long and everyone's complacent now.
That makes sense. That makes good sense.
Yep. And so then they are able to flee by holding on to Dobby while Dobby apparates. And as they're leaving, Bellatrix throws the knife. The elf swayed slightly, stars reflected in his wide, shining eyes. Together, he and Harry looked down at the silver hilt of the knife protruding from the elf's heaving chest.
I know. Dramatic.
Yeah. Dobby, no, don't die. Don't die. The elf's eyes found him, and his lips trembled with the effort to form words. Harry Potter. And then with a little shudder, the elf became quite still, and his eyes were nothing more than gray glassy orbs sprinkled with light from the stars that he could not see.
What a way to end a chapter. Glad we didn't end on this one, but...
Yeah, that would have sucked, but...
Yeah, that would have.
Yeah,
How do you feel about Dobby's death? Because I was kind of like I said, like, it was not the, I don't know. I feel like I was less traumatized by it than other people.
I feel like in the beginning, I was pretty pissed off at Dobby's death. Like,
really?
I think Hedwig and Dobby were some of the ones I was most pissed off about.
Hedwig pissed me off more, but
because there is a cute cartoon of, there's a cute drawing of Dobby holding, like, you know, petting Hedwig, and it's like, oh, you know, it's nice, Dobby has a friend now, like, that they're in the afterlife Aww. Together.
That's really sad.
Yeah, and it, sad. Yeah, it's like, I'm not crying, you're crying.
Right. Oh my goodness. It's funny. Just throw Hagrid in there too. I mean, I know he's in the story still alive, but
yeah, so I'd, you know, again, I can't really say too much about this because I can't give my full opinions weighing on who I know dies and how I feel about that in relation, you know, comparing it to Dobby.
Yeah.
To Dobby's death. So I have to withhold a little bit. But
we can rank all the death sadness by yeah, the end.
It's, but yeah, it's just the sense of, and it's, I think more because Harry is like, at the end of book two, Harry is like, you know, Dobby's like, you set Dobby free. What can Dobby ever do to repay Harry Harry Potter? He's like, you can do one thing, Dobby. He's like, anything, Harry Potter. And Harry's like, don't ever try to save my life again.
Yeah. Ugh. Oops.
Yeah. So, because he was trying to quote unquote save Harry by, you know, keeping away from Hogwarts with like the Bludger and like keeping him out of, King's Cross Station and like all those magical mischief, and again the one time Dobby does it right Dobby dies.
Well, it's very sad to lose another character, but I feel like he's not gonna be the last one.
Yeah, all right, I'm not crying, you're crying. Chapter 24, The Wand Maker. So I think definitely what I remember from like my childhood first reading this book, and part of the reason I took a lot of issue with book 7 is in a lot of cases, a lot of the stuff that we'll see in chapter 24, because we get a lot of background on like wands. And I remember as like a 17 year old, I remember being very put out by all this, and which is so odd because I love the wand lore. I've always loved. I just feel like, you know, Harry the writer has created such a high standard in terms of how deeply everything's woven in and how clues are left. I just felt that so much of the wand lore that is necessary to explain the plot of this book was kind of dumped. And I felt and I felt like it didn't align with the typical like slow and steady world building. I just felt like there was a lot of stuff going on with the wands, and I'm just like, I'm not directly against all the wand stuff and how it's relevant to the plot, but I feel like some of these concepts should have been introduced earlier.
Yeah.
So a part of me, so a part of me feels like a lot of this wand stuff, not that it's bad, I just wish, you know, it had started sooner. Like even as late as book 5 or 2, book 6 or 5. Like if Harry the writer had introduced some of those concepts, then I would not, to me, I just didn't like it. And I didn't even like it as a 17-year-old who didn't have quite as many critical thinking skills as I do now in analyzing.
Yeah. That makes sense. I don't disagree with you at all. It just feels a bit rushed.
Yep. So obviously Harry's still upset and decides, I'm going to, you know, bury Dobby properly, no magic, use a spade, because they use a spade, not shovels, in the UK.
Aww. Yeah. It's also smaller.
Yep. And then so Bill and Fleur, they live by the seaside and they have a cute little cottage, shell cottage. And Harry's making the point of, like, he can still kind of, he can observe Voldemort's, like, anger and fury over their escape from a distance. Yeah. Like, he's so wrought with grief that Voldemort cannot penetrate it. And he actively thinks, oh, this is what Voldemort, or this is what Dumbledore was talking about, that when I was so upset when Sirius died, Voldemort couldn't possess me. And likewise, you know, all of Voldemort's thoughts and feelings, as strong as they are, you know, are so far away because Harry is so consumed by, you know, this grief. And, you know, though Dumbledore, of course, would have said that it was love.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Just had the conversation with somebody else about grief and love.
Oh, yes.
Well, they give it their best to give Dobby a, and I think as far as eulogizing Dobby, I liked Luna's, you know. I don't know. I like her style.
Luna does it best, and they have a stone there, and it's like, here lies Dobby, a free elf.
Tear.
So sad. And so we get a little kind of info from Bill that, so basically, because of all this, it's because they recognize Ron, the entire family's got to go into hiding now.
Well, that is the risk you take when you're friends with Harry Potter.
Indeed. And even they said, lucky that Ginny was on holiday, like the Easter holidays, like Draco was. Otherwise, they would have just, held her hostage at Hogwarts. Yeah. Because they had to leave the Burrow, and they moved them all to Auntie Muriel's, apparently.
Auntie Muriel.
Yeah. And then how are they protected? Fidelia's charm, Dad's secret keeper. And so there's also Fidelia's charm on this college where Bill's a secret keeper. And they're just trying to heal everyone. And Harry's just like, I need to talk to Ollivander and Griphook.
Yeah, try to get some. Harry's mind is back on the mission. I mean, his friggin' bodies are stacking up. I'm sure he's pissed. He wants to get this kind of sorted out.
And him talking to, what we got. Oh, before we got, and Harry starts to wonder, like, what was Dumbledore's eye about?
Yeah.
The one that he's
What is
pleading for
that?
help, and then suddenly Dobby appears, and he still doesn't know who sent Dobby.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think I might have come across a spoiler that I don't remember how I did. To Harry Potter is so deeply entrenched in the culture that sometimes I'm like, oh my God. I think somebody that sent the stag sent Dobby somehow, maybe. There's
Ooh.
like a little guardian angel in the background. And if it's who I think it is, if I've got this thing spoiled for me, I cannot believe I called this person a guardian angel, but yeah.
So the person who sent person with Silver Doe is also person
Maybe with Dobby.
with Dobby. Okay, so that's the same person. We'll put a pin in that.
I know I'm wrong based on the way you're talking, but that's okay. That's okay.
And then so Harry's just trying to understand all of this, and he's like trying to figure out in brains, like, you gave Ron the Deluminator, you understood him, you gave him a way back, and you understood Wormtail too, you knew, because we flew by Peter Pettigrew's death, because who cares? But
Yeah.
thematically, Dumbledore called it, Dumbledore at the end of book three, when Harry was feeling all shitty that that Pettigrew Wormtail escaped and that Sirius didn't get his freedom, and he's like, that's going to be very important, the fact that one of Voldemort's like closest followers is in your debt. That's going to matter at some point.
Yeah.
And
That.
here, go ahead.
Oh, that just. Yeah, that little bit of. That little glint in whatever's Pettigrew's eye.
And
The moment
then
it paused.
and if you knew them, what did you know about me, Dumbledore? Am I meant to know? But not to seek. Did you know how hard I'd find that? Is that why you made this difficult? So again, he's like talking to Dumbledore as if he's like talking to God.
I mean, Dumbledore is the best, but I don't know. Harry's relationship with Dumbledore, sometimes I'm like, ooh, it's a little codependent isn't the right word, but messed up.
And so Harry gets to a point where he goes to talk to Ollivander and Griphook, and like literally he's deciding, he like in terms of who he talks to first, he's making a choice between Griphook, because he has to talk to Griphook about like stuff relevant to Horcruxes, and he has to talk to Ollivander about stuff relating to Hallows, and he's like making a choice that which is more important. And he finally gets on the Hermione bandwagon, where it's like Horcruxes are important, more important.
Yeah, Horcruxes are important. So,
Hashtag Horcruxes matter.
hashtag Horcruxes matter. Hallows of Horcruxes. Good thing he didn't go alphabetically.
So we go to their conversation. How do you feel about the conversation with Griphook?
It's a little hostile, right? Like, it's not super chill.
No, it's not. It doesn't even start super hostile. Like, Griphook is just very guarded, and he's kind of like, you buried the house elf and you saved me. Yeah. Like, you know, he is, you know, the goblins are, you know, portrayed as kind of rather proud, and like, and not that he should be bowing over them, oh, you're so great and amazing, which by just showing basic human decency. But the reality is that most wizards do not extend the level of consideration and empathy towards non-human magical beings that Harry and his friends have just, that Griphook has just witnessed.
Right. And yeah, Griphook is, remembers Harry coming into Gringotts. Is that right? Like, he was
yeah,
there.
So this was the very first, like, goblin that Harry talked to who first gave him access to his vault.
Yeah. And he didn't forget that.
Yeah. And yeah, and we knew this when we first met Dobby. Like, Harry is very famous to non-human magical beings because, you know, regardless, not that things were great, again, with all the inequalities and biases that exist in this world, but the fact is that in a regime like Voldemort's, where even muggleborns are not considered, like, full citizens, then any non-human magical creature is going to be even less so.
Right, yeah.
You know, so the idea that by default, Harry Potter is, you know, Harry Potter defeating Voldemort was a good thing. Not that their situation was great, but they knew it could get a lot worse with Voldemort in power.
Yes. So much worse. So mm-hmm. much worse.
You brought me here. You saved me. Well, I take it you're not sorry. No, Harry Potter. But you are a very odd wizard.
Just because of his kindness to other creatures. Like, he's not an asshole. Or
yeah.
Yeah. He's not specious, I guess.
Yeah. And Harry's like, I need to break into a Gringotts vault. Were you able to, like, follow, like, what his thought process were and, like, piece it together why Bellatrix was so terrified?
Not really, to be quite honest. Like, why Bellatrix? It's just because if I am thinking about this, right, the things that are in the vault are the things that will destroy Voldemort, right? So it's kind of like she's hosed if that's the case, or am I not following?
Say that again.
Like, if the things that are in the vaults in Gringotts are the things that will take down Voldemort, which means Bellatrix is kind of that's not really good news for her that Mia didn't follow it.
Yeah, no, I think it's that is an interesting point, because I guess the question is, we don't know with certainty whether Voldemort knows that the Sword of Gryffindor is now at a point where it can destroy Horcruxes. Because like, Goblin made silver, like, weapons, like, they can't destroy Horcruxes on their own. Like, it only is a Horcrux destroying object because it's imbued with the basilisk's venom.
Oh, okay. Okay, yes.
So that sort of destructive nature of it being able to do damage to Horcruxes might not be wholly known to Voldemort at this time.
I gave Voldemort too much credit.
Yeah.
Don't do that. No, I have
to. You caught my yawn. Yeah.
Lacey will always catch my yawns at work. And she's like, no, don't do it. And I'm like, I can yawn if I feel like it.
Yeah, exactly. Sleepy times.
Yeah. And they're like, you have no chance. No chance at all. If you seek beneath our floors a treasure that was never yours, thief, you have been warned, beware. Yeah, I know all that. You know, I'm not trying to get myself any treasure. I'm not trying to take anything for personal gain. Can you believe that? The goblin looked slantwise at Harry. If there was a wizard of whom I would believe that they did not seek personal gain, it would be you, Harry Potter. Goblins and elves are not used to the protection or the respect that you have shown this night. Not from wand carriers.
Yeah, this big words from, I don't know, it's interesting, like, for kind of reminded, it's an interesting interaction to have after Dobby's death, is because Dobby, you know, they treated Dobby like a regular person, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
regular being.
Yeah, like a regular being, and they're treating Griphook the same way, and it's kind of like, you know, people don't really know what to do with that.
Yeah,
for
and so
other beings.
Yeah, and so, because the interesting thing is that, you know, goblins can seems to be able to do magic, but, you know, Griphook is, you know, kind of left with the impression that if goblins were able to carry wands the way wizards would, then their powers would be expanded upon.
Yes, yeah, Dangerous for the
yeah,
Wizarding
and it's
World.
like, well, goblins can do magic without wand, said Ron. That is immaterial. Wizards refuse to share the secrets of wand lore with other magical beings. They deny us the possibility of extending our powers. Well, goblins won't share any of their magic either. You won't tell us how to make swords and armor the way you do. Goblins know how to work metal in ways wizards have never. So yeah, so again, the goblins, again, this is where we get into like how intentional was Harry the writer in the Jewish allegory? Because it's the goblins, it's not so cut and dry of the house elves of, oh yeah, they're a victim, we should help them and we should care about them. The goblins, they're a minority, but they run the bank, and that allots them a certain, you know, power, but it's a very niche power. Do they have the full mobility of as others in society? No. Very
right.
Very much like, you know,
right.
Jews yeah. in the world.
Right. Yeah. Interesting kind of comparison, but not like very veiled.
Mm-hmm. One thing that Hermione says is, you know, we protest and I'm hunted quite as much as any goblin or elf Gryffindor. I'm a mudblood.
Yeah.
Which is.
And Hermione. Yeah. Interesting she says that.
It's just an interesting. I think it's an interesting concept of, in the same way white women are a. There's no denying that they are a, you know, marginalized group, but are they as marginalized as some? And, you know, when you weave in race with gender, or like race, gender, class, and all sorts of things, like, you know.
Right. But they get mad at her for like saying this. And I think about when I was, what this made me think about was probably early 2000s. There was a kind of a push to reclaim like some derogatory terms for women. I don't know if it ever caught on. You know, you had slut walks and things like that, which whatever to that. But there was a word that starts with a C, which is freely used in other countries. But here it's, you know. Not as widely used, but trying to reclaim the word and be like, no, that's, you know, it doesn't have any power over me. So
yeah,
made me think of that.
Yep. And so Griphook's just like, what do you want in Lestrange's vault? Yeah. And at first it's like, Griphook's like, it's against our code to speak of the secrets of Gringotts. We are the guardians of fabulous treasures. We have a duty to the objects placed in our care, which were so often wrought by our fingers. I feel like the most empathetic Griphook piece is he's stroking the sword and he says, so young, he said finally to be fighting so many.
Yeah.
Well, and it's like, will you help us? I shall think about it.
Yeah. Keeping him hanging.
So, yeah. So they're basically done talking to Griphook for now. And this is when Harry explains that there's got to be a Horcrux in the Lestrange vault. It makes sense psychologically of Voldemort's motivation of wanting a Horcrux at like this very important, you know, site of wizarding culture and society. And he would have been very jealous of that, but also combined with, you know, Bellatrix losing her shit, being terrified that if they took the
right.
sword, what else could they have taken? So.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, she knows there's something in there, but they are on to the next here in a minute with Ollivander.
Yes, and so Ollivander, their discussion with him is, you know, he knows, as we know at the end, he knows nothing about the Hallows. He only knows about this all-powerful wand. And
yeah.
I'm surprised that Harry didn't, like, stick it more to Hermione to be like, see, the wand does exist. Nah, 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 nah.
Yeah. Yeah, he should have. Because
And again, Ollivander goes about it in a very, you know, methodical way. It's like, you know, whether it's the chicken or the egg, like, whether the wand, you know, is, like, directly cursed or people just want it, you know, and therefore it has a bloody trail just because people want it and people give it that power. Like, it, regardless of how you like see it, it's still very much a thing and it exists.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And so, well, poor Harry terrorizes poor Ollivander because Harry knows about so much of what Ollivander said to Voldemort under torture. And Ollivander's just like, how do you know all this? And he
What
doesn't
the
even.
fuck?
Yeah, and so we piece together that at first, Voldemort just thought, use any old wand that's different from like the twin core, and I can vanquish this little brat who's been a pain in my side the last, like, 15 years. And so that's why he takes Lucius' wand. But then Harry's wand does like the golden fire thing, and even that throws off Ollivander. Like, Ollivander's like, I don't know what the hell that is.
Very confusing.
And so after that, Voldemort's like, I want the biggest, most badassest wand so that I can defeat this kid. And so Ollivander tells him about, what is known as the Wand of Destiny, the Death Stick, or otherwise known as the Elder Wand.
What? The Elder One?
Oh,
Never heard of that
and
before.
before all this, we this notion of wands changing allegiance.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
It's again, it's interesting and it's fascinating. I was so pissed off. Why wasn't this earlier?
Yeah, this was very much like a what do you call that? Where they just kind of like throw it in and in a story. There's a term for it, but I've it escapes me at the moment. Yeah, because we're dealing with Draco's wand here
Yeah.
too.
And I guess for as many duels as Harry's has been, like fighting evil and stuff, you one would just think that this would have come out sooner. If there's a question of, it's a question of you, it's not, it doesn't really happen until you're legally, until you're fully an adult and like, your intent, because like if they explained it as such that, this can't happen like among kids, just training because there isn't the same malicious intent. But when you're like serious, like trying to overpower someone, that's when wands change allegiances. I just feel like this would have come up sooner.
Yeah, I
And
kind of do too.
it pisses me off that it doesn't.
It seems like a very big thing to just kind of slip in, at the kind of toward the end of the series where we got like 300 and some pages left or something. But
Yeah. Or, and again, even if it's not like, if it could have been a throw-in of like maybe Tonks in her just telling her exploits as an Auror, just be like, oh yeah, I conquered this guy's wand.
yes, that would have been a perfect way to do it. And
Like
then,
just I
whoa,
don't not even the full explanation, just a few little bits of foreshadowing, which but they're
yeah,
never.
just
And again, for as much foreshadowing as Harry does as a writer, that makes my expectations extremely high.
yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like for as much as Harry the writer has raised my expectations for such a huge concept to just be shoved in here, I was like, no.
Yeah, like, come on, people.
Yeah, so in essence, it looks like that this Hawthorn wand has been that was once Draco Malfoy's has possibly now has yielded to Harry Potter.
Man, that would have pissed Draco off.
Yep. And then you talk about wands like they've got feelings, like they can think for themselves. The wand chooses the wizard, said Ollivander. That much has always been clear to those of us who have studied wand lore.
Just like familiars.
Yeah. So here we go. Yeah. And then we go into the Wand of Destiny. It's like, you ask deep questions, Mr. Potter.
He's a
Yep,
deep
like
guy.
yeah, we're getting deep and metaphysical. So
Yeah.
It isn't necessary to kill the previous owner to take true possession of a wand? Asked Harry. Ollivander swallowed. Not necessary? No, I should not say it's not necessary to kill.
That's good news.
And so yeah, we go into the more about, the Elder Wand and let's see. And at first it's like, okay, Voldemort's gonna realize that he doesn't have to worry about prying Incontardum. He's gonna notice that my wand is destroyed. Because now we're in a position where Harry doesn't have his wand and now Hermione doesn't have her wand anymore.
So we got to get some different wands or
Well, they have Bellatrix's wand.
Well, I feel like that might be a more formidable wand against these crazy people, but
Yeah, I just love the prop design of Bellatrix's wand because all the others are so straight, but hers is so curved. Like,
oh, I'll have to look it up.
that shows that she's just off the rails.
Yeah, that she's pretty crooked too. That's funny.
Yeah. So Yeah, the Dark Lord no longer seeks the Elder Wand only for your destruction, Mr. Potter. He is determined to possess it because he believes it will make him truly invulnerable. And will it? The owner of the Elder Wand must always fear attack. But the idea of the Dark Lord in possession of the Death Stick is, I must admit, formidable. So, yeah. Yep, and Mr. Ollivander, you told you-know-who that Grigorovich had the Elder Wand, didn't you?
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
Yep. So Grigorovich, so the timeline of the Elder Wand as we know it.
Yes.
Grigorovich had the wand.
Okay.
Grigorovich, the wand maker, the like Slavic yes. wand maker. He, yes. the thief that stole that wand was Grindelwald.
Okay.
And he had it for like his years of, you know, Nazism and building up power until Dumbledore defeats him in 1945 and he gains control of the wand. And so what we know to have been Dumbledore's wand, that was in fact the Elder Wand.
The Elder Wand. Makes sense.
Which means that the Elder Wand was buried with Dumbledore.
Holy shit. We're going to do an exhumation here now? Oh my god. All right.
Yep. And Harry is just, and Ron is like, oh, you know where it is? Let's go. And it's like, nope, it's too late.
Oh, man.
It's too late because he can see the vision of Voldemort and Snape. And fucking he's like, Snape. Yeah, he tells Snape, go to the castle. I'll be there in a second. And, you know, raises Dumbledore's tomb and takes the Elder Wand from his dead fingers.
Cool. Good for you, Snape, you fucking idiot.
Well, it's not Snape who did it. It's Voldemort who did it.
Voldemort. But the assist from Snape is gross.
Yeah. And had the old fool imagined that marble or death would protect the wand? Had he thought the Dark Lord would be scared to violate his tomb? The spider-like hand swooped in and pulled the wand from Dumbledore's grasp, and he took it. A shower of sparks flew from its tip, sparkling over the corpse of its last owner, ready to serve a new master at last.
You know how I feel about Dumbledore. This one, I feel a little confused about the motivation here.
Of whom?
Of Dumbledore is being buried with this wand that he knows is like something. I want to know why that happened, because it seems like a little, not careless. I feel like if he had a lot of ego, then he'd be like, yeah, I'm going to be buried with this wand. He's got to know that I almost called him Snape. Voldemort would have no like qualms about, you know, exhuming his body and taking the wand. So I'm very confused by this.
Yes.
What's the motivation?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a fake wand.
Anyway. Oh, a fake one? There was a fake sword.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Alrighty then. Thus concludes our chapters of 23 and 24.
Dun, dun, dun. Bellatrix wand is pretty cool. I just looked it up. I like the kind of curve to it.
And it's an extra evil wand to me because her wand is made out of walnut and I am allergic to walnuts.
It would also defeat Amy if that wand came to your... That's not good. Okay, good.
Yeah, it's like when she got it, she just needs to poke me in the eye and I'll get like, you know, rash.
Oh, man.
But...
Well, these chapters, we read them.
Yep. Which is an accomplishment for the last few weeks we've had.
Yeah, it really is, if y'all only knew, but we're not going to expose ourselves too much.
Yep. And so let us move to our first exercise, Gothic Geek Out.
There's a lot to choose from.
There is.
I think, but I'm going to go with my favorite, and you probably know what it is. I'm going to go with Greyback, because I love a Gothic monster, and I love a werewolf in that scenario. I think we've talked about two. I couldn't think of a Gothic novel that directly cites werewolves. I mean, there are wolves all over Gothic fiction, but the recent little Marvel mini movie, Werewolf at Midnight, was like, it hit all the right Gothic spots for me. And then also, you know, the Universal Monsters. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I have to go with his appearance. This go round.
Yeah, interesting because the werewolf novel my favorite werewolf, like, gothic-y novel is, it's called Moonglow, and it's the second in the Darkest London series. So it's like an urban, you know, gothic taking place in 19th century London, and it's a murder mystery. And the first one was about the first sister and the, who had control of fire, and then Moonglow is about Daisy, who has control of earth, and Daisy ends up getting with a werewolf.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, no, Darkest London series. I think you would appreciate them.
I think I would, based on what you said. All right.
And my gothic geek out, again, there's lots to choose from. I had to go with just Malfoy Manor in of itself.
Mm, yeah.
You know, it's, yeah. We're not there very, very long, but it's just, you know, just thinking about, like, the Malfoy family is one of the sacred 28 pure blood families. And, you know, Malfoy, the name, you know, if we want to dissect it, Mal, you know, in Romance languages, you know, means bad. And then Foy comes from the French foi, which means faith. So literally bad faith.
Bad faith. Okay.
And so, you know, I don't know if it's directly spelled out in any Potter encyclopedic knowledge, but the fact that it is such a French name, there is the sort of idea that the Malfoy line is old enough that it predates the invasion of, you know, 1066 when the Normans invaded Britain from France.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's this idea that the Malfoys are super old, and just having one of those like mansions represent all of that splendor and corruption of the aristocracy. You know, I'm all about that shit in my gothic novels, like The Little Stranger.
Yes, you are. And
that's the mainly why I like Lucius Malfoy as a character, because of all that gothic stuff, not because he's especially smart villain, because he isn't.
Yeah, well, and you kind of like some of the French stereotypes that they've kind of portrayed, or prejudice against the French in this books, that makes sense, that now that you say that with the French last name. I didn't put that together. You put it together for me. So interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. But you're exactly right. I mean, that is very much a Malfoy Manor. I don't know, man. I feel like that is just a haunted house waiting to happen. I don't know if that exists in at Universal Studios, but it should.
Yeah, because I don't know if it's directly ever said in the books, but yeah, Malfoy Manor is located in Wiltshire, whatever, I forget.
Hmm.
I have, again, Nat needs to educate me. I have no concept of the various, I know there's a Devonshire, there's a Yorkshire. I'm not familiar with all the shires in England.
I'm just, only shire I'm familiar with is the Hobbits, right?
The Lord of the Rings shire, yes.
Yeah.
Alrighty then. So I think that's enough with Gothic Geek Out. And then we move on to Tarot of the Day.
Tarot of the Day.
And I picked it while you were discussing Fenrir Greyback.
Oh, cool.
I didn't pick it beforehand. And it's an interesting one because I picked card number 15 of the Major Arcana, the Devil.
Ooh, I don't think we've ever had that card.
We've had Death.
We've had death.
We have not had the Devil.
Did you see this error? I got an error. You have run out of free disk space to save a local backup of this data. That must be just for me. I recommend. Did you see that?
Yeah. That's. Or okay. I don't see it. I think it's fine. Like, because I will. Okay. It gives me a copy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Devil.
Yeah. So the Devil card, which, the Devil card, again, total side tangent, is, you know, really the card that made me, like, fully understand that our notion of, like, the devil with, like, the horns comes from the, again, neutral, if not benign, figure of Serranos with the antlers, the man in the forest.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Like Pan, kind of?
Kind of like Pan. And so the Devil card represents your shadow or darker side and the negative forces that constrain you and hold you back from being the best version of yourself. You may be at the effect of negative habits, dependencies, behaviors, thought patterns, relationships, and addictions. You have found yourself trapped between the short-term pleasures you receive and the longer-term pain you experience. Just as the Lover's card speaks to duality and choices, so too does the Devil. However, with the Devil, you are choosing the path of instant gratification, even if it is at the expense of your long-term well-being.
So, interesting.
I think of Wormtail.
Okay.
Wormtail is someone who represents someone who betrayed his friends, like went to the Nazi side, you know, for purely with like in a short-term idea of like survival and victory, and just wanted to make sure he wasn't on the losing side. But he did that without fully considering what the long-term consequences would be, and it shows that he's not very happy and he's not very respected among the Death Eaters. Right. He's not like living it up. He's not living up the Death Eater life the way Bellatrix and the others are. So to me, that's a sign of Wormtail giving in to instant gratification, or like making short-term decisions that he thinks will enhance survival, and not really thinking about like, okay, if I survive, and then what?
Yeah. I'm glad you sussed that out, because I was thinking about the Golden Trio specifically, and I feel like all of their decision making in these two chapters was not short-sighted. I feel like it was very, you know, about the mission rather than kind of the find what feels good in the moment. Yeah. So
and this is the chapter 24 was the evolution of Harry, like, giving up the obsession, the My Precious, with all the Deathly Hallows. So for him, he was evolved, moving past his darker self and being able to, like, you know, refocus. And honestly, quite frankly, the more Harry is not believed, the more obsessed he gets. Like, I think just a part of Ollivander validating that, yes, this wand exists, because he knows now the wand exists. He already knows the cloak exists because he has it. So I think just the purely that it's being validated that they exist, he's able to temper back like the temptation of I must have it.
Yes, I agree.
You know, just Devil giving into darker instincts. Actually, I think of Lucius Malfoy, because, you know, it seems that Draco has reached a point where, again, he's not immediately willing to sell out the Golden Trio.
Yeah.
He's not willing to sell them out, and because he's not perceiving the reward of being a real, you know, a real reward. Like, he's just like, you know, all these people are miserable. Everything's dark and gloomy. This sucks. Whereas Lucius is just like, if we just, you know, give them Potter, then everything will be fixed. And, you know, again, chasing a short-term instant gratification or short-term reward,
yeah,
and not thinking about like, you know, is my position and my family really going to change all that much in the long term?
Yeah. Interesting. It's got to be a hard situation to be in, be like Draco and Lucius. It's got to be a mm-hmm. Not everybody's on the same page. So.
No, they are not. And now we can move on to Black Moon astrology cards. And the card I picked was card number 51, Mercury retrograde.
Ooh, miscommunication.
Miscommunication, things breaking down, you know.
All the things.
When does Mercury go into retrograde again? I can't remember.
I don't remember either. I think we've got a little bit of time. I don't know.
Okay. Mercury retrograde is regarded as a time when things tend to go wrong. In actuality, it marks a 3.5-week period where any important action should be postponed. About 3 or 4 times a year, Mercury goes through... Oh, again, they explain the whole thing with retrograde. Mercury isn't a predictable planet going along its normal direct pathway, but once it goes into retrograde, all things ruled by Mercury suddenly begin to wobble and go off kilter, such as communication, travel.
Yes. All the things.
When this card comes up in your reading, back up all of your equipment, your computer, cell phone numbers, and address books, and anything to do with technology or mechanics. Electrical appliances purchased at this time may end up needing to be returned. You know, just, yeah, basically everything going wrong. And so, to me, the ultimate example of spirit of Mercury retrograde was Harry saying the stupid word and getting themselves captured in the first place.
Yes. And for those who care, the next Mercury retrograde starts April 21st, and I am traveling that day, so lucky me.
Yay.
But yeah, I think you're exactly right. I feel like I don't know. I kind of agree with you as far as the fact that he did kind of have that misspeak with Voldemort's name. It's just kind of, it is a little confusing, and I guess it maybe it was in a moment of like frustration or something. He just blurted it out, or I don't
Yeah,
know.
he blurted it out to her because again he was because he was trying to convince Hermione of something, and then Ron is like, "No, shut up," and it was too late.
Yeah. Whoops. Other
Again,
than that, the rest of the communication seemed pretty direct. I don't think we
yeah.
had any secret miscommunications in these two chapters. It was pretty
The only,
straightforward.
yeah, only, yeah, just the mystery communication of who the hell sent Dobby.
Who the hell sent Dobby? And then also, why was Bellatrix like, oh my God, I don't think that was really a miscommunication, but it was an evasive communication.
Yeah, because she wasn't even willing to tell like Narcissa about it, so.
Yeah, sissy. Ugh.
Alrighty then. So our last exercise is no, you catch my yawn.
Oh God, I did. I guess if we're not psychopaths or whatever, that's like supposed to. Anyway, yes, the last one. What is it?
Fan fiction time.
I know. I just wanted you to say it.
Yes, would you like to share with the class?
Yeah, I will share with the class. I was gonna go initially with what if Dobby didn't die, but I'm not gonna do that one. I was just the fact that they have Draco's wand and the implications of that. What if they did not have it? I don't think we fully understand the implications of this yet, but just kind of wonder what would happen if they hadn't done it. Because a little bit, it seems like a little bit of a win over Draco, who's been such a nemesis for every book, and now he's doing weird stuff now. I don't know.
Yeah, so, well, first of all, they lost all their wands. Like, Harry was already using a wand that wasn't like his and that wasn't really compatible with him. But Hermione still had her wand, and Ron had his wand, or at least had a wand that was kind of functioning. This with Harry, with Draco's wand, shows, not only does he have a wand, just any old wand, he now has a wand that he has quote unquote claimed, and so it should function for him substantially better.
Yeah.
If he did not have that, he would be in the same position of not having, like, none of them having their wands. Like, they have,
Yeah.
because I guess in your fan fiction, do they leave with no wands? Because again, they have Bellatrix's wand.
Yeah, in mine, I guess I was specifically thinking about Draco and just the implications of that. So what if it was somebody else's?
Interesting. I think it would have been an interesting thing if Harry had conquered Bellatrix's wand.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Because I think Bellatrix's wand is probably a little bit more powerful. And it's interesting about Draco's wand because it says Draco's wand is Hawthorn and it's unicorn hair. And in deep Potter lore, unicorn hair is considered to be the type of wands out of all the other wand cores that are least likely to that's very hard to perform dark magic and dark arts with unicorn hair wands because unicorns are so pure and awesome.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool. But
So
yeah,
that
that makes
so
sense, I
oh
think.
yeah, so it's just the idea of this glimmer into again probably Draco's maybe because it's not just this book, like his whole feeling conflicted and not being able to kill Dumbledore.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting thing too to think about, but I don't know. That's the best I could do this week. What's yours?
Well, I had two. Like the obvious one is what if Dobby had not died? Because I think it would have been nice for Dobby to like hang around a little.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see where he kind
It
of
just
went and
it would have
yeah.
been interesting to see if I would have loved if he joined our little band of heroes, the Golden Trio, and he would be able to apparate them into places that they couldn't get otherwise.
That would be interesting. It would be a good move for him.
Yeah, like he would have been so
And yeah.
useful to have around. And And Jesse would have been such a badass anyway.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I spent one of those days.
Yeah.
And then my other one is, what if they had not gotten captured?
Man, what if they hadn't got captured?
Because even though obviously it was horrific, they got two important things out of this. You know,
yes,
out of this. They got a wand that functions for Harry. They got a wand, that's important. But they never, like, they still had kind of hit a wall again about where to move forward with Horcruxes. Like, they only Harry only has a lead by realizing that, okay, there must be something really, really important in Bellatrix's vault. And so, if they had not gotten captured, he would not have that inclination. So, what the hell would they be doing?
I guess they would be just kind of like meandering around like they have been for a while. I feel like they got some pretty, I mean, granted, it probably wasn't the best time to get captured. They did get some pretty important intel based on
I guess the question is that if things did not happen this way, would our guardian angel have sent Dobby in some other circumstance?
I don't know. This guardian angel, he is a complicated person. I don't really know his motivation. Yeah,
that's a good question.
The guardian angel, I'm sorry. Would it have spared Dobby, too? That's, I guess, something we can think about.
But, yeah. Or I'm thinking, I just thought of another one. What if they decided, okay, we're going to go to Hogwarts and we're going to get the Elder Wand before Voldemort. And we're going to pry it from Dumbledore's hand.
Everybody's dead. That's what I think would happen. Everybody would die because they would, you know, I feel like then that showdown would have happened and they would have been woefully unprepared.
Indeed. Yeah. And like they, you know, Harry the writer builds it up of like this huge, like, you know, sacrifice or like conflict in him about, oh, I'm choosing to talk to Gryffindor, I'm choosing Horcruxes first. Like, I'm giving up my possibility of getting the Elder Wand. There was no fucking way in hell he was going to get into Hogwarts unless Dobby was still alive and could get him into Hogwarts, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
But as it stands now, there was no, regardless of who he talked to first, like, that's not a choice he's making. There was no way they were getting that wand.
No, there wasn't. And yeah, it's just, I'm trying to think through if they, yeah, dead. That's what I think. Yeah. Everybody's dead.
Everyone's dead. Alrighty, and thus concludes this episode of Rambling Raven Puffs. Tune in next time, and we shall go over chapters 25 and 26, Shell Cottage and Gringotts.
Ooh, and Amy and I are going to go to sleep, because we're both yawning constantly at the end of this.
Gringotts, the heist chapter.
Ooh, fun times. Alright.
Fun times. What is that heist young adult novel, like The Six of Crows? I still need to read that one.
Oh, I do too. I haven't read that, but people say good things. So.
They all do.
Yeah.
All right, then. Catch you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Rambling Raven Puffs. Our theme music was composed by John Williams, recreated by Kinez Norwar. This podcast is but one of the many shows produced by Sophie Mare Studios. You can get the latest news by following our social media, Sophie Mare Studios on Instagram, Sophie Mare Studios on TikTok, and SophieMare_pods on Twitter. You can connect with other listeners through the Sophie Mare Studios Discord server. You can support the show by becoming a patron at patreon.com/SophieMareStudios, all lowercase. Higher tiers get access to even cooler perks.
That was the Sophie Mare Studios podcast.